finished writing my sermon on Friday afternoon, but after hearing the news about what happened in Virginia yesterday, I decided I needed to rework my sermon a little bit, so it won't be as polished as it might have been, but I hope it will be faithful. Will you pray with me? O God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you haven't heard about what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia this weekend, let me fill you in a little bit. A group of white supremacists marched on the main quadrangle of the University of Virginia's campus on Friday, and then again at a park in Charlottesville yesterday. Counter-protesters showed up both times, and violence broke out, which led to multiple injuries and at least 3 fatalities. One of the photos I saw of the counter-protests was of a group of clergy standing arm in arm together. At once, I felt both proud of these folks who share my profession and also a little bit ashamed. I felt ashamed because even as I cheered them on, I wondered in my heart if I would have had the courage to join them if those white supremacists had descended on Nashville. I thought about my safety and how frightened I would have been to go face to face with people who were shouting hate and inciting violence. Would I have let my fear overpower the call to do the right thing and stand up to evil? Earlier this week, as our Tuesday Bible study groups discussed our text for today, I told them that this passage had convicted me. We were talking about Peter and his decision to step out of the boat and walk toward Jesus. He and the disciples were in a boat in the middle of a storm. They saw Jesus coming to them, and they thought he was a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Have courage. It's me. Don't be afraid." We don't know what the other disciples thought, whether or not Jesus' words comforted them. But it's clear that for Peter, Jesus' words weren't enough. Peter needed proof that Jesus wasn't a ghost, that he was the real deal. I told the folks at our Bible studies that this text had really made me think about whether or not I would have had the courage to step out of the boat. In fact, it had really made me think about the risks that I've taken for my faith lately. And the truth is, I can't think of one real risk. I've managed to create a life in which I don't have to step out of my comfort zone very often. And let's be honest, that's a privilege that I enjoy as a well-educated, middle-class white woman. So when those images of the protests flashed across my screen this weekend, I couldn't help but wonder, would I have gone? Would I have taken the risk and stepped out of the boat? I thought about Peter's experience. And I wonder what motivated him to step out of the boat in the first place. Maybe it was his curiosity. Maybe it was his doubt. Maybe it was just his adrenaline kicking in, his fight or flight response. He was either going to confront a ghost or discover that it was indeed Jesus walking toward him. Whatever his motivation, Peter took the risk and began to walk. Wouldn't it be cool if that was the end of the story? That would be a great ending. Peter bravely stepped out of the boat and confidently walked toward Jesus. Cue the dramatic music and film credits. If only Peter were a movie-worthy hero. But he wasn't. He was a real person with doubts and fears like the rest of us. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked around and realized what he had just done. He actually stepped out of a boat in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, and walked toward what might have been a ghost. And so he began to sink. How many of us have had that experience? We've taken a risk, we've got our eyes on the prize, we're focused on our goal, and then we realize what we're doing, and we allow our fear and our doubt to take us off course. When I was a kid, my parents gave me a brand new bike for my birthday, and it was beautiful. It was purple and white. It had tassels hanging from the handlebars. It had a white banana seat with anchors on it. As you can imagine, I was very excited to learn how to ride this bike. So my dad went out front with me, and he held on to the back as I started to pedal. As I gained more confidence, I began riding faster and faster, and my dad had to start running to keep up with me. I had been riding for a few moments when I realized that I didn't hear my dad anymore, and I glanced back, and he was half a block behind me. And as soon as I realized he wasn't with me anymore, I fell over. I could tell that my dad was trying to conceal a smile as he pulled me up from the cement and gave me a hug. In the same way, I picture Jesus chuckling to himself, trying to conceal his smile, as he pulls Peter up from the water and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Silly Aaron, silly Peter." Jesus could have easily condemned Peter for his fear and his doubt. Others certainly have. Jesus could have ridiculed Peter for his lack of faith or given him a lecture about how worthless he was as a disciple. After all, Peter couldn't even recognize and trust his friend. But Jesus didn't do that. "You of little faith," he said. Little faith. Not no faith, not bad faith, but little faith. Mustard seed faith, perhaps. Not faith without fear and doubt, but faith that's willing to take a few risky, scary steps and then cry out for help when the going gets tough. And you know what? That little faith is what enabled Peter to recognize Jesus. Peter's willingness to step out of the boat is what gave him the eyes to see who Jesus really was. And it's what allowed the other disciples to witness the saving work of Jesus and worship him. I think that fear can either paralyze us or motivate us toward action. And I know that my natural instinct is the former. Deer in the headlights might be a good description. But what if the only way we can really recognize Jesus is if we step out of the boat? What if the only way to grow in our faith is to take a few risky, scary steps out of our comfort zone? Professor Clifton Kirkpatrick quotes Ernest Campbell, who's a former pastor of Riverside Church in New York City. Ernest Campbell said, "The reason that we seem to lack faith in our time is that we're not doing anything that requires it." Kirkpatrick goes on to say, he was right. The key to faith and fullness of life in Christ is to follow Peter's example and be willing to step out of the comfort and security of the boat and head into the troubled waters of the world to proclaim the love, mercy, and justice of God that we find in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "Being a disciple is risky and exciting business, but that is exactly what God calls us to do and to be. And God assures us that if we get out of the boat, we can count on the accompaniment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." A number of years ago, our church stepped out of the boat. If you've ever been down to the lower level of our building, you may have noticed a plaque on the wall. It's pretty inconspicuous, and I probably passed it about 50 times before I ever stopped to read it. But here's what it says. In this space on November 14th, 1994, the first patient was cared for by the volunteers of the Interfaith Dental Clinic. On our 20th anniversary, we thank the members of West End United Methodist Church for faithfully serving God by helping the working poor live healthier lives. I'd never heard the story about West End's involvement in the founding of Interfaith Dental before, and I was curious to know the story, so I asked around a little bit. I learned that a dentist, Dr. Tom Underwood, had the idea for the clinic. He was a member here at the time, and he had gone with our church on a number of mission trips to offer dental care to impoverished people. But he began to wonder why Nashville dentists couldn't do the same thing here at home. They would need a space out of which to operate, though, and so they began to explore what it would mean to base Interfaith Dental Clinic here at West End. I learned that while many people here at the church supported the idea, it wasn't all smooth sailing to get it approved. Concerns were raised about the church's liability, about that many people coming in and out of the building, and there were many conversations about whether or not the church should take the risk. But as one person reflected, it was a risk, and these decisions are never easy. But we can't let that stop us from doing what we're called to do. And they didn't. A couple of years after the idea was proposed, the church council finally approved the plan, and the Interfaith Dental Clinic was born. Today, they have two clinics that serve a 10-county region in Middle Tennessee. Last year alone, they had almost 13,000 patient visits, and the work they did relieved the mouth pain of over 1,500 people. And all it took was a little faith and a group of people who were willing to take a few risky steps. So here's the really hard question. What are our next risky steps? Maybe you're ready to join a peaceful protest or risk being arrested for justice. Maybe you're ready to take major risks for the sake of your faith. If you are, I'm so glad that there are people like you in this world. We need you. But if you're like me and you're risk averse, what can we do to step out of our comfort zones? I don't think that we have to do anything crazy or dangerous out of the gate. I'm not talking about skydiving for Jesus here. Maybe we could work up to that. But what if we could do one thing this week to take a baby step out of the boat? What if we could tell an acquaintance our faith story? Or simply sit with someone in their grief? What if we could befriend a struggling single parent? Or sign up to tutor children at a local school? What if we could object when someone said something racist or sexist or homophobic? What if we could actually stand up when someone is being a bully and say no? What feels risky to me may not feel risky to you. We all have different fears, and honestly, I don't know that we're all called to take the same risks all the time. But I do know that the vows that we have taken, that we affirm every time someone is baptized, is that we will accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. So what if, instead of allowing our fears to paralyze us, we let our faith guide us, as little as that faith might be? The truth is, it's much less scary inside the boat. And if we step out, we might look around and begin to sink. But what if, in our sinking, we're able to recognize the one who walks on water, and he reaches down to save us, and he turns our terror into praise? I think I'm ready to take a step. How about you?